to me tremendously. And because of the little program that I watched, and I will find out because it's worth getting the information, and I should have made notes. But this young lady was in a pretty vile, wicked, evil band. But she gave us so much information that I said, oh, right on. That means October is designated by the darkened world to try to put a damper or to try to, through witchcraft, to things like that, to come against the body of Christ, the church. And Satan is defeated, but he's still doing lots of wicked and evil things. So anyways, the Bible says that the angels are camped around about us. So we have angels. Oh yeah, young people, youth, you dismissed to your class. Some of them already gone there. And the scripture, the text that I'm going to be using is not an unfamiliar text. And it's in, let me see if we have the, it's John chapter 8, verse 32. And you should have that in your word and underlined, because this is a powerful, powerful verse. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, or the truth shall set you free. It's not an unfamiliar verse here, but it is important that you get the essence of that verse, the impact of that verse. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Years ago, we started a men's Bible study. I forget when exactly, but, and that was the verse that, the theme of that, you shall know the truth, and the truth sets you free. So you got to be truthful with yourself. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, that you have your mind, and the Bible says also that we have to renew our minds. But in essence, you have like two minds. You have your mind, that's your mind that you think through and so forth. But you also have your spirit, soul, and body, right? We're spirit, soul, and body. Okay, in your spirit you are perfect, because God resides in your spirit. Amen. Your soul is sanctified, and being sanctified, you're being renewed, your mind is restored, and so you have your soul. Then you have your physical body, and sometimes it gets you trouble. Yeah. Sometimes it can hinder you, sometimes it's not working as well as it should, and so forth. And so even though we have these three kind of components, what has happened in many lives that I didn't really always believe, because I always believed, Lord, you know, in Jesus' name be healed and that's it. But sometimes when there's hindrances inside, because last week or week before we dealt with depression and oppression and some of that stuff and how you can be delivered and set free and so on. And we've dealt with that. And in my studies, I came across something that was very interesting. That you can be a child, myself as a child, if I had something that I went through as a child, and now as an adult, it can still hinder me. So how do I get rid of that? Acknowledge it instead of shoving it down deeper. Acknowledge it and bring it to the throne of God. And say, God, you know, I used to feel so inferior. Or God, I was bullied. Or whatever it is, whatever the situation was, that kind of made you even today and has effects on you. Okay? This is a little bit of an introduction as to, I believe that we can be set free from all of it.
Right, amen.
Because when the Bible says, and you shall know the truth, so that means Jesus is truth.
Right.
He is truth, full of grace and truth. Okay? So first comes the grace and then the truth, as it says in the Gospel of John, first chapter. I think it's a 15th verse. Somewhere in that neighborhood. But anyways, grace and truth. Grace is God's favor on you.
Amen.
And I still think we're still learning, Kenny. We're learning that all the time. There's what grace really is, and to unpack it. Some people are afraid of it, but at the same time, grace is God's favor upon you.
Amen.
I've had God's favor on me. I've been aware of it. Now, I grew up in church, but I've been aware of the favor that I had on my life. Even when things went south, you know what I mean?
Amen.
I will tell you, when a fire breaks out in a shopping center and our store or our business is right next door to where the fire broke out.
Come on.
And we were probably the only one that didn't have fire insurance. I didn't think we really needed it. God's going to take care of it.
That's right.
That's the best fire insurance. Now, I'm not advocating that you cancel your fire insurance, okay? So please, don't do that. It's the same way you got insurance when you drive a car and so forth and so on. But I will tell you, we went through a time when the fire caught in that. And there was a lesson that I've learned that, and it's so deeply embedded in my spirit, when the fire caught and the whole market, that whole big grocery store, went up in flames. Matter of fact, the door jams were burned out as well as the doors. And I walked through our place to go to the back, another maybe 10 feet. And then there was a door, wooden door, and a big jams, and all of it was burned out, and you walk in, and that was the meat department. And I found a drumstick from a turkey, because it was Christmas Eve, actually, that this thing went up in fire. And I took it, and it was done. And it was good. It was cooked. But I'm saying that to say, the flame, the fire was that intense. Now, at this time, when the flame was going on, I was driving my car, sitting on Riverside Drive across the street, because no one was allowed in the parking lot except for the fire trucks and all the commotion that was going on. And so one of the guys says, "Hey, where's the baker?" And so a couple of guys knew me because they needed the key to get through. Instead of all the way around, they could get through because we had a front door, back door. Our business was 100 feet long, and so that was quite a distance. And so that way it saved them a lot of time, and they ran some hoses through there to get the back when they were putting out the fire and so on. I will tell you, all I did is pray in tongues. And I say all I did because that's all I did. There's nothing else I could do. Sometimes you feel so like, I don't know what to do. I can't seem to fix it, make it. Or you may be in a situation where you really don't know what to do. You feel you've done everything you know to do. And if it's not fixing it or changing anything, you know, sometimes, I mean, in my case, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That means when you baptize the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Many times when you pray in the Spirit, in the tongues, you pray because they pray with a heavenly language and the Spirit of God prays through you. See, you allow the Spirit of God to pray through me. That is the Holy Spirit praying through me. You might say, well, what was that all about? Well, that's the Holy Spirit praying through me. Okay? Do you understand it? No, not a word. Well, then why do it? Well, because the Holy Spirit prays through me. Amen. He prays the perfect will of God Amen. Through me. Amen. You can have this. Matter of fact, I highly recommend it. I highly recommend it, and I have an easy way for you to get filled with the Holy Spirit. Just boom, just like that. It's just absolutely no, it's just easy. And I'm saying that because I've had many, I would probably say hundreds of people that I helped getting baptized in the Spirit, speaking in other tongues. Now, what the sad thing is, many people have received the gift of the Holy Spirit of praying in tongues, but they don't pray in tongues.
Come on.
Well, either you have no needs, no issues, no obstacles, no hindrances, no nothing, or you just put it on the shelf. No. Now, it's a gift from God. Amen. If it's a gift from God, I think Amen. You ought to use it.
Amen.
I mean, if it's a gift from God, if it was a gift from me, put it on the shelf. But it's a gift from God.
That's right. Amen.
And you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you don't know that you could be praying for and bringing answers and breakthrough
yes. Yes.
Not only in your life, but in the lives of loved ones around
man,
you.
That's right, Pastor. Come on, man.
There's times I feel motivated to pray in tongues, especially in my car, a lot of times. And I don't know, I might be praying for my kids
yeah.
or grandkids
yeah.
or pretty soon great-grandkids.
Yeah.
You know, matter of fact, I've been praying for my great-grandkids. You know, in my mind, but just praying in the tongues, praying in the heavenly language. Why is it called heavenly language? Because it's God's language that gives it to me.
Amen.
We're called like a Pentecostal church.
That's right.
Now, we don't dance in the aisle and all that kind of weird stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, by the way, dance. The world does it. The world dances. I mean, they have a, you know, and I mean, I love to, you know, kind of, you know, we're not uptight. I grew up in an uptight church. You know, if you go... They look and say, what's the matter with you? You know. Or if you take a mint, you know, and you pass them real quiet. I mean, you know, that's the kind of church I grew up in. And that's fine because that was fine at that time. That was totally, I'm just saying that was what I grew up in. Very traditional. But when I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, man, I just felt like I was set free.
Amen. Come on.
And I mean, it was something of a dimension that I could not even explain, or I just couldn't even explain it. But I couldn't wait to pray for people, and I pray. I said, look, I'm going to pray in another language. Now, I know a few other languages besides, so they don't know what, you know, I speak Frisian, I speak Dutch in tongues, English, you know. So, I mean, what I mean is, like, there's different languages, and so, but you don't know what you're saying when you pray in tongues. But it's in the Bible, and the Bible says you all ought to have it.
Amen.
Okay. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So if you have any more questions about speaking in tongues, come talk to me, and I'll help you. I'll give you scripture and verse, but that's not the message for this morning. But the truth is always in speaking in tongues. You will always be speaking, you speak in the truth, because God is praying through you by the Holy Spirit. And here's another verse that I want to give to you. I'll give a couple of verses, and then we'll get into the message. If God be for you, who can be against you? Okay? This verse came to me when the fires was raging. I said, if God's before me, who can be against me? I had my windows rolled up because there was smoke there. And I was sitting in my car watching the fire going on. You can't see the shop where the shop was, our shop. You can't see it because it was fire. And it was not because of fire, but the smoke was there. And I was just praying in tongues. I was just praying in the spirit, just like I did a few minutes ago. I was just praying because I didn't know how to pray. I said, Lord, it's your shop. You know, if it's going, then I'd be looking for a job. And, you know, I mean, I had a conversation with God, just normal. But, Lord, I don't believe that this is what you want. Amen. It's to burn down our business. Okay, and I'll tell you something again that just dawned on me, just like, you know, as I prepared for this. What if our income is gone? What are we going to do? I may have to try to run the shop and get another job somewhere else to take care of things, to pay the bills. So I said, Lord, you really have to help me here, Lord. And I'm very reluctant to say, God, you have to, because God don't have to nothing. I have a tremendous respect and a holy reverence for my God, my Father. Amen. So I'm very careful as to how, God, you have to this and that. I don't go there. Because I wasn't raised that way. Amen. I ask. But if God says, I've given you power, now you go do it, I take the power and I go do what He tells us to do.
Right?
Because God has given you power, and He's given you the authority, the power. You have the power, and the authority means the right
Amen.
To use that power. Now, a lot of people think, well, yeah, I guess I have the power, but they don't know if they have the authority to use the power, or if they know, they don't use the power. Now, let's go to Psalms 78 a minute. Psalms 78. Psalms 78. Okay, number one, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Number two, if God be for you, who can be against you? Okay. Now, so what I mean is, if you're a Christian, that means you're a child of God, right?
Right.
You're a child of God. You are God's daughter or God's son.
Amen.
He is our Father. He's our Father.
Yep.
Jesus is our elder brother.
Yep. Yep.
He's the firstborn.
Amen.
And so, okay, here in Psalms 78, I'm going to just read a few verses, and I want you to see how easily we can forget and become slothful in our walk with the Lord. Okay, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears unto the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings or difficult sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will hide them from their children. We will not hide them. We will not hide them from their children. Show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and the strength and His wonderful works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob. Now, Jacob is Israel. Jacob had the 12 sons, right? And so there's a whole history there. So He has established a testimony in Jacob or in Israel and appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children. So they should make them known to their children, just like we make known the scriptures and the word of God to our children in children's church, in the youth, and so forth. We make it, you make known to your children at home. You read the word every day. You pray with them every day. Over a meal, you pray. You talk about the word, and that's what you do. So it says here, and he commanded our father. He didn't suggest it. He commanded.
Amen.
A commandment is to be obeyed.
Amen.
Amen? If you're in the service and they give you a command, you obey or court-martial, okay? So, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to the children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born. So it's the children that weren't born yet, the children that should be born. So in other words, be prepared for that. So who should arise and declare them to their children. As my children declare it, my dad told us, his dad, my grandfather, whom I am named after, which I was very fond of. I hung out with him quite a bit. He retired early because he had a heart condition, and so that meant he could hang around with me, or I could hang around with him, but either way. And he was an inventor, and he was very creative, and he made stuff and built and invented stuff and so forth. But anyway, he shared with us things about God. Things about the Lord as you. Oh, and then my dad, he became a Sunday school superintendent and a teacher, and so he taught us. He was, oh my goodness, I wish I could read like my dad. He could read and draw you into the story. You know what I'm saying? We were hanging on the word. Every Sunday night in particular, he would read out of a Bible that was a big, man, had the pictures that were drawn by pencil, okay? And you could almost see the horses move when he'd read. Especially, I still remember as a kid, I was 8, 9, and we, all of us kids, there was seven of us, stood around the chair and kind of looking over his shoulder while he was reading the Bible. So that's how I grew up with the Word of God.
Amen.
In particular, I can tell you the story of Joseph. I can tell you what happened and all of the different things. Because he read it in such a way to where we were, like we were there, we tasted the dust and the sand, if you will, when the horses went. You understand what I'm saying? So learn to read and learn to read with your children and teach them to read. And when they learn this, oh my goodness, what's going to happen is they're going to do the same thing for their children.
Amen.
As we've seen now. And so it says that, verse 6, the latter part, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God.
Amen.
And not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Now, commandments is not something like, oh man, commandments. Now, you know, it's if you do this, then you receive that. But anyways, these are not harsh commandments. We're not just talking about the Ten Commandments. We're talking the precepts of the Lord. And then it says in verse 8, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, in whose spirit was not steadfast with God. So the spirit was not steadfast with God. They were walking with God, but then they kind of left and they walked away from God. And they became lukewarm. I had a group of, I do a Bible study on Tuesday morning. And one particular table, one time the table was actually, they were all filled, all the seats were filled. And I said, how many know somebody that used to attend church, was on fire for God, and no longer attends church? Everyone raised their hand without even, I mean, everybody raised their hand. They didn't even have to think about it. And I thought, wow. So we are going through that time period right now. It's not just our church, but it's as a whole across the United States in particular. But there is also revivals that are breaking forth. Right now there's a revival in France and in Spain and also in Poland. And in Iraq and Iran, I know, I follow this stuff because I want to know. And because they've been so low that all of a sudden a revival is breaking out because the people are just hungry for something that's real.
Amen.
And so the hunger that they have for that which is real caused them to reach out and maybe even read a Bible that they found or something. I remember the time it happened in Russia. It was communist, people were, you know, put in jail for, and then all of a sudden, it opened up and you could truck in the Bibles as many as you want. I remember Brother Andrew telling us, oh yeah, no, they're open. Everybody wants a Bible all of a sudden. Well, they've been smuggling them in. Matter of fact, they bring them into Romania, and the one pastor, he would dig holes in the backyard in the middle of the night about the size of these Rubbermaid trash cans. And so he put the trash can in this big hole, and he would dig about 3 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the morning at night in his backyard. And then they put the Bibles inside these Rubbermaid type trash cans and put the lid on it, put the dirt back on top, and sometimes put a plant on top. Because that's how they would, but they would deliver them. And let me just tell you real quickly a story. So one time another neighbor said, "What is that I'm hearing?" So he got up and looked through the window, and he noticed, oh, the neighbor, what is he digging? And so he watched him dig. And then he noticed he was hiding. He said, "Ah, I know what he's doing." So he turned him in. And they found the Bibles, and they threw him in prison. They beat him and tortured him. He didn't give up. But he prayed for these captors. He prayed for the people that tortured him and beat him. And so he prayed for them, that God's Spirit would, through him, would somehow win them and see them come to the Lord. That one captor, his eldest child, died. And all of a sudden, it just seemed like a flash. Could it be? Could it be that my child died because of what I did to this man? I got so much joy out of beating him and torturing him. And all of a sudden, it became a reality to him. And he took all those Bibles that were just piled in a big room, put them on the back of a truck, and drove him all the way back to Romania, and dumped, as a dump truck, dumped it right in his front yard. He got all his Bibles back, and he was let out of prison. The moment he walked out of that jail and let go for some reason, he would just let go. The pain left. And he felt like, man, I'm feeling really good. Ah, the beautiful air and the beautiful hillsides of Romania. I mean, Romania is a beautiful country anyway. Matter of fact, my sister is there right now doing mission work. And so they got the Bibles. And he thought, I wonder how. So he went back to, I said, what is this all about? He said, just take the Bibles and just stay out of here. And so he didn't ask any more questions. Now, let me go, because you see what had happened after this, all of a sudden everything opened up. Russia opened up. Some of the satellite countries opened up. And you could start a church, missionaries and groups, you know, would go travel to Russia and preach the gospel everywhere. Now it's again becoming restrictive. Putting somehow some kind of restriction, as well as in China. But in China is probably the fastest growing church in all the world. Because the people, they love Jesus, and they're not going to stop. But even I saw on the news where they tore down a beautiful historic church. Tall, beautiful church, seat about 10,000 people. They bulldozed the whole thing because it was in the way of some kind of a construction thing. And in China, actually, they're building cities where no one lives. Did you know that? Yeah, freeways, highways, there's cities, there's huge high-rises, malls, and everything else. And nobody lives there. Because they got to keep their people working. Yeah, that's why when you have a Trump that says, we've been ripped off, we've been ripped off. And so they kind of adjust that situation. But anyways, that's a whole other story. We won't go there. So what has happened here, what God is saying here through the writer, is to instruct your children, and those children instruct their children, so that those children instruct their children. And so what they did, they failed. And of course, they fell into sin. And you can read much of the Bible, you see it. But I want you to go now to the text that I was going to with that as a background. Go to verse 41. And this can happen to us as well. In verse 41, it says this: "Yea, they turned back and tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel." You and I can limit God from doing what He'd love to do. Because if they could limit God by their unbelief and by their disobedience, we could limit God by our unbelief and by our disobedience. It's no difference.
Come on, Pastor.
And so either we are obedient and we do what God directs us to do. And the only way you're really going to know what is it that God wants us to do is to read the Word of God. And to, particularly, I would say, if you read this particular psalm, Psalm 78, gives the whole history of Israel. It's an awesome psalm. In one psalm, you get the whole history of Israel. Same thing, there's a chapter in Acts, I think it's chapter 7. It's the entire history of Israel, from beginning to end, in one chapter. Well, you know, when you learn that, you say, wow, man, now I want to know really more details. And then you can go to the details and you learn all the lessons in the Old Testament. Old Testament is filled with lessons that we can learn, that we can apply today. And you learn about a God that is very much involved with His people and loves His people. And blesses His people. Imagine being in the middle of the desert and needing water. You know, and Moses, God tells Moses, hey, there's a rock, why don't you tap it? And water comes, not only enough for them to drink, but for all their animals, for everything. Amazing. And they just discovered in Iran, there's a place and it's got all fenced in, but there's a rock that has a split like this. And there's places where you can actually see where that water would end up. Engineers, one from California, and he was a cop, investigative cop, and then another gentleman, the two of them, the two families, went out there actually to see all that and took pictures of it. It was illegal, it had signs, but they were able to open the gate or open the fencing and go through and get in and get out because it's out there in Saudi Arabia area. But it's amazing when you see now that they, because of the technology they have, they can show you where they actually went across the water. Because they found wheels with parts of it there that had, I mean, the wheel was probably about that wide. Now it's like this because it's got, what do you call it, that grows around it? Come on, help me here. Algae, whatever, okay? But it's there because, you know, per satellite, they could find out, oh, that's the lowest part. And so now they went down there, divers with the cameras, and took pictures of it. They didn't want to touch it. They want to leave it in place. So now that's a museum. And they have wheels that came off the chariots when they went after the Hebrew children when they went through the water. When Moses was told by God, what's that in your hand? A stick. Okay, hold the stick over the water. All of a sudden, the water divided. And everything was dry. And they went through dry land. I mean, you tell people that, they say, oh, come on, you're crazy. No, it's in the Bible. Not only is it in the Bible, you can go there and find the place where they did that. Because we got 3 million plus people and all the animals and everything else. You can find some place because there are certain relics and things that they, you know, and so you can find that place. Well, that'll build faith in a lot of people. And when you have a parent reading the scriptures to you and then maybe tells you a little bit more about it, man, all of a sudden you say, well, man, I want to know more about this. Wow, we got an awesome God. When you sing about an awesome God, that's an awesome God. Not only did he get the people through on dry ground, then he tells Moses, okay, put your stick, you know, over the, and all of a sudden, and they drown all the Egyptians. See, the Egyptians, they had a hardened heart. Yeah. And so, okay, now that you got that little bit of history there. So here in, it says here in verse 41, yea, they turned back and tempted God. They turned back and tempted God. Rather than going forward and do what God says, they tempted God, turned back, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Limiting the Holy One of Israel. You and I can limit God. God has things in store for you. You can limit Him. How do you limit Him? Through unbelief. Disbelief, unbelief. You can limit Him. You don't want to limit God. You want to say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going with it. I'm going with you. I remember so many times where I had to say, Lord, I don't get it quite, but I'm going with you. I can't see the way quite clear, but I remember the guy, Jerry Vaughn, standing on the sidewalk here and said, now, Art, don't let this thing slip away for $50,000. $50,000. Hey, man, that, you know. I mean, you know, in other words, don't lose this deal of this building over $50,000. You know, it's not his $50,000, you know, but he works in the district, see? or to be in Ontario downtown when we were in Ontario, and a gentleman comes to me who had a turban on, and so I knew he was from another country. He said, I heard that the building is for sale. I said, that's right. He said, I'll give you $25,000 cash if you sell it to me. Oh, well, that was a temptation, because my car, I did so much work out of the back of my trunk. I had full of 5-gallon buckets of paint. We had 22 rentals if they needed painting. Hey, I know how to paint. Thursdays was my work day. Thursday was, Carol will remember, she was there. And so we did all that stuff, you know. A week later, he comes by. He says, hey, I'm serious. I'll give you $50,000 cash. No one needs to know. Just an envelope with the money. Would you sell it to me? Well, we happen to be talking to a small church that is, you know, kind of negotiate, but I could very easily move in there and say, well, you know what, it's just not working out. Obviously, you don't have the money. I got somebody here that has the money, and so we're going to go that route because they obviously had the money. A group from Egypt or someplace, but anyway, they had the money. And we probably gave them the money because we bought the oil. But anyway, that's neither here or there. Okay? Don't you think I was tempted? But see, I was raised by parents. I was raised by grandparents that always told you, don't take any. Where'd you get that? Oh, I found it. Where did you find it? I don't know. It was on the sidewalk. Well, whose is it? It's nobody's. Nobody was there. You know what I mean? You know how easy we get into. So I had to say, well, I'll tell you what, we're negotiating with somebody right now. And, you know, but I said, God, please, I certainly don't want another offer, but I want Christian church in here. I don't want a he wanted to put a Buddhist school in there to train for the, because they had great plans for Buddhist temples. And so that's what it was. It wasn't a Muslim, it was a Buddhist, you know. So my point is, see, every one of us get confronted with things. Yeah. Am I either going to limit God or am I going to go with God? Amen. I could have limited God by getting a little shortcut. Lord, that is, I mean, I like Mercedes. And I prayed for another car because my other one was, man, it looked like, anyway. So my point is, we could limit God and turn back, or we can go with God and move forward. Now, those that have been walking with the Lord have to be an example to those that are new to walking with God. And that's why I take a little moment to give this testimony, because the enemy would love to rip people off. I said, oh, yeah, I used to go to church, but man, let me tell you what happened. Yeah. And then you get this sad story as though God did it. Yeah. No, God didn't do it.
Come on, Pastor.
God, no. God is good.
Amen.
If God is for you, who can be against you? But he will try to make it look like that God is really upset at you. And I think it's like Bob was saying early in his story, it was so appropriate, you know, feeling guilty. No, God blesses us because of who God is. Who God is. I don't deserve none of it. I'm blessed. I am truly a blessed person. I mean, I am a blessed person in every way. It's not because I deserve it, or because I'm so special. You're all special. If you could hear God talk, he'd say, you know what, son, you're special. Daughter, you're special to me. Every single one. But you have to just say, okay, God, where do we go from here? Many times I said, Lord, where do we go from here? What do we do now? You know, okay, let me move forward. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Okay? And you can... All right. Praise the Lord. So it says there in Isaiah 5:13 also, but Hosea 4:6. That verse had a tremendous impact. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge in Hosea 4:6. And if you read there in Isaiah chapter 4, read prior from verse 1 all the way to verse 6, and you get kind of the whole connection there as to what was happening there. Just like in this Psalm 78, you see, where, you know, they weren't passing on the truth. They didn't think, they were too busy taking care of sheep. maybe 25 sheep that fed the family. So they didn't want to bother as much to try to pass on to the children. And it's never too late, let me say that. You say, well, man, I blew that one. Well, it's never too late. All you got to do is be totally open and honest and guess what happened to me? Yeah. Man, I was in this church. I heard this and I heard that. And I looked it up and I said, wow, man, this is really good. See, instead of you up here and talking down to your children, no, that's not how it works. You say, honey, I got to share this with you. I'm just so excited. And they will tell on your face. I've had people say, what's happened to you? I said, what do you mean what happened to me? I mean, what do you mean what happened to me? Talk to me. You know? They said, well, yeah, you look different. I said, what do you mean you look different? I said, well, you got this grin, this I want to say this stupid look on your face, but it's not that. It's just, you know, when you get blessed and you know you didn't make it happen and God did it. I remember when I was dating Helma and I got homesick for home. And her dad, being a police officer, he interrogated us, me first. And he thought I was cool. So anyway, but they said, I need to go back to Holland to see my family because I came as an immigrant. And, you know, I had some uncles here, but they had busy at their own families. And so I had to scramble up some my money, not scramble, but whatever, get the money together. And so I got a ticket and I went back and I wrote her every single day. I missed her so much. I'm not a writer. Every day I wrote her a letter. And I had to be thinking, okay, careful now, because other people might read this. Her mom might read this. You know, see, I still remember thinking this. But I wrote her letters, you know. So I can't wait to get back, you know. I saw all my siblings and everybody was still doing the same thing as when I left. So they're good. My mom and dad were good. They were glad to see me, obviously. But I'm just saying, I went through the whole homesick thing, you know. I was really homesick. I wasn't like, but I was just... In a way, kind of wondering, am I doing the right thing? When I was there, I knew I did the right thing. And I couldn't wait to get back. Because I missed her so much, you know. And so when I got back here, we made plans and all of that kind of stuff. And I'm just saying. So yes, you go through stuff, but God has a way. I didn't have the money, but somehow I got some extra jobs, made some extra wedding cakes. I worked for Griswold's on Foothill, and I did really well. And so can I get away for a week? I need to get away for a week. And so, anyways, that's that. So it's important that you are not destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. You need to have knowledge, not just knowledge of like, I mean, I'm all for education, absolutely. You know, I've got my degrees and stuff, but I'm talking about knowledge, human knowledge, understanding, depth, particularly with God. God has nothing but good in store for you. God's not hard up, and he's not looking and saying, now that one is kind of messing up, so I'm going to, let me see what I can. I used to think God walks around with a club in heaven, see when I messed up, so you break your legs like or cause something to happen. I love this story this morning. It was so appropriate because it's true. Somehow in the back of our mind, we still kind of sometimes think that way. No, God don't think that way. He is a father that loves you. Can you get out? Because see, you got things in here, in your inner person. We got things up here, I know. But there's things up here. Some of it is from when we grew up. Some of it is just, it just stays with us. Maybe you have an inferiority complex. I don't always, or I don't. But there's times I feel very intimidated. But I don't let anybody else know. Yeah? I mean, you know what I'm saying? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I'm trying to be transparent so you are who you are, but you have to get beyond that point too. So I would be feeling intimidated, and then I'd have to tell myself, yeah, but you're the pastor. Well, that's true, but you know, there's gifted, talented people much more so than I am, and yet God chose me to do what I'm doing. And I have to say, God, you're amazing. I mean, I don't know what you saw in me, but thank you. Okay. Enough said on that. Now, being that we're in this month of October, and we'll come back to this some more, but there is an atmosphere of evil, if you will, in during October, because the witches, warlocks and all that, that whole occult system is awakened in October and tries to, in some way, affect and stand against believers. And so the best thing you and I can do is not to cower back and hold on, you know, till it's over, till it blows over. No, no. Get out there and confront it. I go to Lowe's, I go to Home Depot. In Lowe's, they got these weird freaking looking things in, you know, and I walk one, I'm telling you, I walked and this one skeleton thing goes like this, or something like that. I'm telling you, I was a gymnast, and I'm fast. I almost knocked that thing off its pistol. And I wouldn't have felt bad either, but I almost like, you know, I was ready, you know. Because I don't like scary stuff. I do not like, I don't like skeletons, none of that stuff. I cannot believe why Christians, now, okay, and if you're one, hey, God bless you, I love you. But why Christians wear, skulls. And Helm and I were talking about it. You can buy baby clothes with skulls on it. Why in the world would you put that on a child, on a baby? What kind of message does that send? I mean, we got to get back to some, anyway. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, the Bible says in 1 John 5:19, the whole world lies in the sway of the wicked one. And we come and bring light. We come and bring deliverance. We come and bring hope. We are the ones that bring hope. Well, if we're walking and living a life and feeling hopeless, then how can we affect somebody else and bring some hope? Amen? And sometimes I want to say this to you. Just fake it. If it's not a reality yet. Fake it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. See what will happen. Yeah, but I'm not really happy. I'm really not. I'm really ticked off. I'm disappointed. I'm frustrated. I'm a little depressed. So I want everybody else to know. And is that working for you? No, of course not. They stay away from you. They say, ooh, I don't know, man. You understand what I'm saying? Be joyful. Be happy. You're going to heaven one day. I mean, you already entered into eternity. Did you know that? Because the eternal one ran it into you. I'm never going to die. That is awesome. You're never going to die. I love to do memorial services for people that are born again Christians. And I don't mind doing them for those that are not. But I can't preach them into heaven. But I'll tell you what, when the room is full of people, I do it very carefully. I do it with a lot of tact. But I let them know they need to accept Jesus Christ as Savior in order to go to heaven. That's the only way you can get there. And so we as ministers, we have that obligation. We cannot shy away from it. I've been at services where there's very important people, you know, very important. And I think, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't say, maybe I should kind of like water down a little bit. And boy, I felt the Holy Spirit saying, don't you dare. You've got a mandate. You know, I remember Oral Roberts being in a service that I did. And he's born again, okay? Totally. I mean, from top, every hair of his head. The man is just, you walk by, you could feel the anointing that's on him. Regardless of what you might think, that's the truth. So I preached the message, just never compromising in any way, because Bob, who had passed away, was his brother-in-law. And so that's why he was there. I didn't know if he was going to be there. And he sat there, second, third row to the front, And so I said to Dr. Roberts, would you like to say something? Oh, I'd love to, son. Or no, he actually, I'd love to, Pastor. Very respectful. And I mean, we followed this guy for many years. He was in Holland doing crusade. My sister got healed of polio at his crusade. I mean, you know, so we have a, but he didn't know us from anywhere. Even though we went down to Tulsa and saw the museum and all of that kind of stuff and so on. He came up and shared. He says, thank you, Pastor. And he shared something that was just so moving. Just picked right up where I left off and just kept going for another 45 minutes. Everybody's hanging on the words. I thought, wow, this is so cool. You know, to be in the presence of people that are just, yeah, okay. All right, now, I'm going to close in 2 minutes. So if you have to go, 2 minutes. And let's go now. This will be in, part of the, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. I share things with... Yeah, the devil is real. Yes, definitely. His demons are real. I confronted some, and you will confront some, and hopefully you cast out some, because that would be even my joy. I'd love for you to come and say, well, guess what, man? I casted out some demons. All right. The most that we've ever casted out was 21 in one person. Yeah, I know. That was a lot of work. That was with a pastor locally, and it was a young woman, 21 years old. Yeah. But we'll leave that where it is. Okay. Chapter 6 and verse 10, it says, finally, my brethren. When it says, finally, my brethren, it's kind of like saying, hey, finally, let me just make sure you get this. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. So the devil is real. You can stand against the wiles of the devil, but put on the whole armor of God. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness on high places. So that's what we're up against, spiritual wickedness and so forth, okay? There are spiritual wickedness around us in the atmosphere, okay? Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, or having done all, stand. With other words, don't run. A lot of people run. Don't run, stand. I remember that was one time that was really crucial. I knew this verse, chapter, I almost memorized this, and because this person was demonized. There was a police officer, there was a nurse from San Antonio, and there was a girl contorting, and all kinds of evil was coming out of her. But in her moment of sanity, she called for the youth pastor. We are never in the office on Saturday, down where we were in Ontario. The phone rings. I said to Paul, I said, should we pick it up? I said, well, it's Saturday. Are you finished? You got to still study for tomorrow? Yeah, I got it. Because we were debating, should we pick it up? I said, so by that time, I picked it up. I said, hello, Pastor Art. Can I help you? And so the next thing, we're in the middle of deliverance. This girl had made a pact with Satan because her boyfriend broke up with her. And I'm telling you what, that was a manifestation. And so either the nurse was going to give her a shot or something to kind of knock her out for, you know, so they can take her to the hospital. The police was there because he caused a ruckus in the home. And so all of them were there. So I explained to them, I said, look, I said, we're going to deal with this. I'm not sure if you're used to this, but this is a spiritual thing. I'm sure you can tell what's going on and what's coming out of her, you know. And I told Paul, I said, I know how's it going to go, man. We got to get it delivered for a number of reasons. San Antonio needs to know. Police needs to know. And we start binding that spirit in the name of Jesus. Then we start commanding them out. There was a number of different ones that came out. She got totally delivered, absolutely delivered. You know what happened right afterwards? She hugged Paul, who was her youth pastor. She hugged me. Oh, thank you so much. Oh, thank you so much. You know, and we kind of give her some counsel, you know, obviously. But they did take her to San Antonio to check her. You know, they want to make sure from their scientific and medical standpoint of view. I said, no problem. Go with them. Who knows? They might give you a nice meal. You know, just, you know, because, I mean, she's set free. You understand what I'm saying. You know, when someone is demonized, okay, this kid accepted Jesus, was on fire for God, but then got away from God because something horrible happened to her. Finally, she thought the love of her life had come, and then it disappeared because somebody better came along. And so she was just devastated. So she made a pact with the devil and said some things that, you know, I said, no, we break all of that, and God's going to take care of you. And so, okay, so let me finish reading here. In verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness. So the breastplate of righteousness, that means you are declared righteous. When you accept Jesus as Savior, you are declared righteous, regardless how you feel. You know, I don't know how you feel. I don't know how you feel. Sometimes I feel real good. Sometimes I feel kind of like this. I don't allow myself to go under that line. You know, then I have to crank up the gospel music or the worship music, you know, to the point where it drives out whatever seems to want to. Because I've been under attack last week. But that's okay, because, you know, we just fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I'm always victorious. You are always victorious when you're in the fight. Do you know why? You're not going into the fight by yourself. It's Jesus. It's His battle. He's just using your voice and your faith in Jesus' name. Amen. Having your loins girt with truth and having your breastplate of righteousness and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Not just the gospel, but the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith wherewith you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Have you experienced some fiery darts lately? We do from time to time. Fiery darts come. But you quench them. The dart comes, you grab it, quench it in Jesus' name. Because the gospel of peace, just it's peace all over you. Yeah, I can say more about that. But anyway, pray with all prayer and with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watch thereunto with perseverance and supplication. So, I mean, you need to memorize these, you know, from 10 to 18. And just go through it and read it. And say, okay, am I doing this? Am I doing this? And then when you find some situation that is really, you know, where you know there's demonic stuff, pray. Now, there's people that you know there's demonic activity. And if you ask them, well, can I pray for you? They'll tell you, right, flat-footed, no, leave me alone. Get out of my face. That's okay.